today we're going to be continuing our series of speaking about the letters that Jesus sent to the seven churches. Wow. Well, in the Bible, we've got letters from Paul and to various people and James to people and that. But we've got in the book of Revelation at the beginning, seven letters of Jesus to the churches. And the one we're going to look at now is in Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. And it's the letter to the church in Thyatira. Okay. So then, let's just read verse 18. I'm going to read it to you. There's a lot of verses, so we've got a shorter amount of time because it's an all age. So I'm going to read them and pick out highlights of these verses. But it is verse 18. Okay. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God. And here's a description of him, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. He says that Jesus is the Son of, who's the Son of God. His eyes are like flames of fire, flaming eyes. That means he was angry. You know, Jesus in the Gospels was only recorded as being angry a few times. And let's look at those just briefly. You know, Jesus was angry when the disciples told the parents of children that Jesus was much too busy to bother with children. He was angry then. He said, suffer the little children to come to me. And he was angry when he was in the synagogue on a Sunday, and there was a man with a withered arm. And the people around him said, it's a Sabbath, you know. You shouldn't heal. You shouldn't do any work like that. And he was angry. He was angry because how dare they say that you should never help somebody? How dare you say that there isn't a moment when your heart shouldn't show compassion to those in need? He was really angry. And then another occasion was when Jesus went into the temple and he found that an area of the temple, which was called the Court of the Gentiles, it was called that because it was the only place in the temple that Gentiles, non-Jews who believed, could come and pray. And they've been stopped from doing that because they turned it into a marketplace to sell offerings and to exchange money. And Jesus was so angry that these dear believers didn't have a place where they could come and pray. And he was so angry, he got some cords and he made a whip. You know, Jesus gets angry when people do things to harm people. He gets angry when people are obstructed from receiving goodness and grace from God, which he often ministers through people. That's when Jesus gets angry. So let's bear that in mind. And he said, Jesus, the Son of God, he had feet of like polished bronze. In other words, he had bronze armor on his feet. And people had bronze armor on their feet, not just to protect, because it wasn't just the top, it was the bottom as well. And they had armor on so they could stamp on things. They could stamp on their enemy. And Jesus stamps and wants to crush and break that which is harmful to people, that which doesn't meet with his approval, because he wants people to benefit. And he wants to remove obstruction. So that's the description of Jesus. So, Thyatira. Okay, let me see if I can use my first props. You can give me scores out of 10. It's not a problem. Okay. Now, Richard reminded us a few weeks ago that the letters to the churches, seven letters, are in modern-day Turkey. Okay? And the first letter is at Ephesus. And it goes around the letters in this order in a clockwise motion. So we've had the letters at Ephesus, we've had the letter to Sardis, we've had the letter to Pergamon, and the next one is this one here, Thyatira. Okay, so just so you know where Thyatira is, okay? And my wife and myself had the pleasure of visiting quite close to Thyatira. So that's it means something to us. It really does, very personal. Okay, Thyatira. What was Thyatira like? Because you probably haven't visited. If I said Blackpool, you might have an idea what Blackpool's like, or Anglesey. You know what that's like. Well, let me tell you about Thyatira. There's two particularly significant things about Thyatira. One, it was a military place. It had a garrison because it was on the border of its country. And there were troops there to protect in case of any invasion. So there's lots of soldiers there. Two, it was a place that people passed through. You know, you go on the motorway and you see a sign for somewhere. It might be Wensbury. Have you ever been to Wensbury? Eh? Well, you might see a sign for Stockport. You think, have you been to Stockport? Well, people just pass by on the way to somewhere. The people of Wensbury and the people of Stockport think those are really great places, by the way. But Thyatira was the place you passed through. And because of that, he did a lot of trade. And what did he do? Well, one of the trades, I'm going to hold up this wonderful garment. I hope you can see. Okay. Now, I hope it comes out the right color on your screen. It's purple. And they made purple garments. And there's a place in Acts where Paul, in Philippi, meets a lady called Lydia, who's from Thyatira, a seller of purple. So they made purple garments. That's what they did in Thyatira. They also made leather goods as well. If anybody goes to Turkey, you will find that there's a wonderful leather jacket, which is bought for a great price and stuff for my wife, but well worth it. Okay, well worth it. And that. Now, the other thing they were famous for was pottery. Okay. And here's a bit of pottery, which I bought very close to Thyatira when I went to Turkey a few years ago. It's lovely, decorative, and wonderful pottery. The reason why I mention pottery is because Jesus, in his message to this Thyatira church, alludes to it. Okay. Okay. And just remember that in Isaiah 64, verse 8, it reminds us who is the potter? It's God. And who is the clay vessel? That's us. And you or I and I are made for a purpose by the Savior. And we're there to fulfill a purpose which he has designed. Okay. So remember that. Okay, you are made for a purpose. God has got a plan for your life. He knows what's good for you, and he's got a plan to use you. And if we're that good clay pot, it's great. Now then, just to say that in all the time that I was looking at pottery and that near Thyatira, I never saw a second shop. Okay, we get second shops in England. But they didn't have second shops in those days. And if at the finish of a process, they looked at a pot and it wasn't perfect, then the potter had an assistant. And the assistant had an iron bar. And the assistant would go around and he would just smash what wasn't correct. And only good stuff was left. Okay. And God wants us to be that good stuff. He wants to be that us, a vessel which carries him. So we treat people like he treats people, with respect, using our gifts to benefit other people, the gifts that God has given us to have. So just remember that. Now, Jesus, in speaking to Thyatira, starts with a commendation. And he says, I know all the things you do. I've seen your love, your faith, your service, and your very patient endurance. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful way to start a conversation with anybody. Tell them how you value them. You know, isn't it wonderful that Jesus knows all that we do? And he saw that Thyatira, unlike Ephesus, hadn't lost their first love. Hadn't lost their love for God. They hadn't lost their love for others. And those two always go together. They're inseparable. How can you love God and hate people? That's what John says to us in his letters, doesn't he? And he saw their faith. And, the word faith and faithfulness in the language that John wrote this, recorded these letters of Jesus in, It's the same word, faith and faithfulness. When he remembered their faith, he remembered that they were faithful. They were faithful throughout the whole of their life. And he remembered their service, doing practical things, helps and ministries. You know, they're as important as prophecies and visions, helps and ministries. You know, Jesus in Matthew 25, when he's talking about those who will enter into his eternal kingdom, you raised the point, he said, I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. You know, and James reminds us that faith by itself isn't enough. It's always got to be incorporated with actions, because faith without deeds is useless, says James. They go together. They go together. And he commended them for their patient endurance. You know, Thyatira was a tough place to live as a Christian. If you traded, then you had to be part of a trade guild, as people have mentioned before. And as part of the trade guild, they had to be in rooms and buildings where all sorts of unspeakable things, to be honest, were going on. Things I couldn't mention in an all-day service. But they had to work alongside this and work around this and keep their faith and be pure. And also, imprisonment and punishment wasn't unknown to the people in Thyatira. And Jesus saw that. And he commended them for it. And, you know, having commended them for these four things, he said, you know, not only have you got these, but you're improving in them. They're growing in faith, in love, in service, and in patient endurance. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful, eh, that Jesus had noticed that and commended them for it? Hallelujah. But, and there is a big but, this is why Jesus was angry. In verses 20 to 23, Jesus points out that there were people who set themselves up as a teacher, and there were people who followed them, and there were people who didn't live according to how the Bible says we should live. They didn't treat people in the way that the Bible said we should treat people. They didn't order their relationships with each other the way the Bible says we should order our relationships. They were doing terrible things. And Jesus had to mention it, had to mention it. Because, you know, if you see somebody doing something wrong, do you just leave them doing something wrong? Or do you have a word with them and say, hey, you know, you're harming yourself. You will come to danger in the end. Something bad will happen. If you love them, you tell them. With love. And Jesus has spoken to these people, but they weren't listening. They weren't listening. And they were influencing other people. And that's why he was angry. Like he was angry with his disciples who tried to obstruct children to come to be blessed by him. Just like he was angry with the people who tried to stop a sick man to come and be healed. Just like he was angry with the people who wanted to stop, were stopping people praying, communicating, and coming to him. Well, he was angry with these people in the Thyatira church who were stopping people from coming to God and living his plan, which was the best for them. And these people were doing some terrible things, some bad things. And the thing is, you reap what you sow. In other words, your actions have a consequence in your life. And if you do bad things, then there were bad consequences. If you do good things, there's good consequences. Simple truth, but it's there. Hallelujah. So Jesus was rebuking them, and he rebukes those he loves. But we have to respond. We have to respond. These people were letting values and teachings from outside their society come into their church and influencing people. And that's not good. You know, I've got a relative, and one of his jobs, he's got more than one job actually, but one of his jobs is to man the lifeboat. And when the siren goes, when he gets a message, he runs to the lifeboat house, jumps in the lifeboat, and he goes out to sea, and he goes to rescue people. And that lifeboat is made to go through the sea, however stormy the sea is, and to help people. It's equipped that way. And that's great. But you know, if the water comes into the lifeboat, if the sea comes into the lifeboat is unstable. The lifeboat can't rescue people. And so we, as Christians, as a church, we're equipped. We've got great, wonderful gifts from God, great, wonderful wisdom. But if we let the wisdom of the church, sorry, the wisdom of society come into the church, the wisdom of the society around us come in and control our thinking, then we're like a light boat that is full of water that's no good for those who need rescuing. And we will be no good to those around us. And we will be in danger. And that's the same for the church as well. So always remember, as Liz reminded us when that, talking about that video of Sheila, when she had the map, she had the book, she had the guide, she had the plan. Follow it. If you don't follow it, then you'll miss out. Hallelujah. So it is so important. And Jesus had told these people who were doing wrong, who were listening to wrong advice, to repent, to get back, remember the plan and stick to it. And to those who were alongside these people, but were being faithful, weren't listening to these incorrect thinking, he said, I've just got a simple message for the rest of you. This is wonderful. He says, you've got these very terrible people around you. Terrible, because the things they were saying and the things they were telling people to do. But he says, I'll ask nothing more of you, except that you hold tightly to what you have. Hold tightly to the plan. Remember the plan until I come. Then you will be victorious, you who obey me to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is very simple with his gospel. Very simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. It's very simple. You know, some of Jesus' disciples, at one point, they understandably, when Jesus was ministering, they thought their plan wasn't, their faith wasn't too great. And said, how can we have great faith? And Jesus said, well, if you've got faith as a mustard seed, you get mulberry bushes and you plant them in the sea. Now, I don't think we ever had reports of beds of mulberry bushes in the sea, okay? But I think what Jesus was saying very simply, was that when you have faith, quite extraordinary things can happen. And after that, immediately following on in the conversation, he told them about the good servant. And what did the servant do? Well, the servant just did as he was expected, did as he was told, in a very undramatic way. Because the way of faith is simple. It's obedience. It's to do that which God has told you to do. So God will challenge us this week, this month, this year, this season. But you remember what he's spoken to you through the Bible, through what you've read, through conversation with the Christians, conversations he has highlighted. You know, just do as he's saying. You know, if you don't do as your parents tell you and you don't clean your teeth, they'll go away. You know that. You ignore your teeth, they go away. Just follow advice and clean your teeth. And if we don't obey God, then the good things won't happen. It's just true. Health and life is through him. Always is through him. Hallelujah. And you know, when the church has obeyed and followed him, the church has affected society. You know, the vulnerable have been cared for. The uneducated have been educated. Captives have been set free because God is good news. So let God be in you. Remember that plan. He promises, gives you a promise, doesn't he? That you will have authority over nations. Wow. Verse 27. And that we'll smash some clay pots then. In other words, we'll correct some things which are wrong then when we judge with him. Isn't that amazing that God asks us to do that? So, He promises the kingdom. He promises power and authority with him and glory, to be in glory with him in the future. If we just remember the plan, we stick to it. You know, Sheila, when she stuck to the path, when she remembered the plan, she got to where she wanted to be. And where does God want us to be? He wants us to be with him, both now and in eternity. Bless him. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you want nothing but the best for us. We thank you that you've given us your Bible, your people, the means of praying to you and hearing your voice and hearing your instruction in so many ways. Thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are a good, good God. We pray, Lord, continue to speak to us. Help us as we tread this path, following your plan. Amen.